Okay. We're going to give this a try. Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, episode 26?
0.5.
Something like that.
26 is definitely the last one.
We just got out of Godzilla King of the Monsters. And
we did? Oh, we did. Yes,
we
did.
Thanks, Dave.
Joining me right now at the Endeavor patio, Endeavor Brewing's patio, we got Troy.
Hi.
Dave.
Hello.
And two lovely ladies. Donna's here.
Hello.
And so is Jody.
Hi, everybody.
So, what do we think? First impressions?
It was lots of stuff.
Let's try it this way. We'll do a spoiler-free first thought, and then we'll spoil the heck out of it.
We'll give a spoilers from here on out warning.
Yeah, we'll...
Okay, that works.
Okay, so now, spoiler-free stuff.
Spoiler-free, like, if you are one of the people that have always been mildly annoyed that, oh man, it takes so long for the Godzilla to show up, and then, like, you get a little action, you don't have to worry about that here. This is wall-to-wall.
Right away. The script felt tight. Like, there's maybe one or two lulls, but it was all exposition, and I thought it moved along well for two and a half hours, 2:20?
Yeah, something like
that. It did feel long. It actually got to the point where I was almost feeling kaiju fatigue. Like, just almost too much monsters going on. Almost, not quite. But it definitely took a little bit out of you, because at the end of it, you're like, well, I'm tired.
yeah, that is absolutely true. I actually was, like, there were several moments where I was, like, leaning forward, like, I need a break. I'm going to get some water or something.
You needed a water.
Yeah, this could be a semi-spoiler, but Godzilla was in it.
I would hope so.
That was it. That's the only...
That's the spoiler.
Yeah. Oh.
Somebody's, like, sweating so hard, they've been, like, running across to stop their computer, like, uh-oh!
So Jody's pretty well-versed in Godzilla movies. What about you, Donna? Do you have a lot of experience? Have you ever seen a Godzilla movie?
I probably did when I was a kid, but I don't really remember any of them. But this was fun. I mean, the special effects and everything, I mean, it was fun, and all the actors were actors that you knew.
For the most part, right. Yeah.
I recognized tons and tons of people.
Yeah.
So... And there wasn't too many little quippy little jokey things that you sometimes see in these action movies that I frankly don't really like. It was just enough humor that was funny, because in a real situation where the Earth is about to be destroyed, you're probably not making a lot of jokes about it.
I would only be making jokes.
Right.
Like, jokes, if that's your defense, and one-liners only. Yeah. Just like, I'd be coming up with them, like, on the fly, or just, like, borrowing old ones. Like, well, I'd buy that for $1. or that's gotta hurt. Or, you know, like, tell it to the judge.
Wow.
You're off the case. I don't know. Whatever. I'm just throwing them all out.
Got them all, man.
In a crazy sort of panic-induced rage, I guess.
I think my favorite part of the movie is that, like, Donna enjoyed it. Not being a Godzilla fan, me, who's deep in the lore, thoroughly enjoyed it because of all the callbacks and Easter eggs that were in it. Because there are a lot, and probably a bunch. This is the second time I've seen it. I saw some stuff that I hadn't seen the first time.
Oh, nice. I'm sure that there's tons that I missed.
There was definitely some overload, like too much going on. Not too much, but just too much to pay attention to. Too much to catch everything. It definitely warrants a second viewing, especially if you're an Ultra fan. I think Ultra fan is actually one of the Godzilla creatures. it's like 400 feet tall, wears a Hawaiian shirt, plays trumpet,
right.
Sounds great. It was visually very beautiful.
The close-ups were some of the best. I mean, when they got really close to the monsters, it was amazing.
They did a very good job. The animators and all the people in the special effects department did a really good job.
Yeah.
As someone who's been subjected to a lot of kaiju movies, my takeaway, my spoiler-free review of it is that it's a lot of fun. And it's kind of like, imagine an old Godzilla movie and the original Die Hard had a baby. And then you kind of get the Hollywood version of Godzilla.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a Hollywood version of Godzilla.
Very,
I mean,
Hollywood.
Like, obviously, it's
yeah.
way more
action movie.
Yeah.
I was, one thing that struck me, and I don't think this is a spoiler, but one thing that struck me was that the Americanized telling of Godzilla was very individualistic. There was a lot of emphasis on individual characters and their experience of it, where in the Toho Godzilla movies or other monster movies, there's just this overarching, how does this affect humanity as a whole?
Yeah.
Or how do we deal with this cooperatively? How do we together deal with this giant monster problem?
The Titan problem.
The Titan problem.
Right.
I mean, the implication being, like, culturally speaking, a lot of East Asian cultures are more collective, and they all kind of, like, we're all in this together, think of the team, like, whereas Western cultures are typically, like, individual achievement, like, I'm the hero of my own story, and it's kind of, that is a thing, I mean, the...
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep. That is a very... distinctively yeah.
Especially
American
this
thing.
American Western culture, I think.
Well, I mean, this it even comes out in our sayings. Like, in Western culture, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. But in Eastern cultures, the nail that sticks out gets hammered down.
Oh!
Like, kind of, it's that kind of stuff. But I think we might be straying a little bit from the monsters.
Well, though, okay, we're going to step up the spoiler a notch. Because, like...
One before we get big into it?
Like semi-spoiler ice cream?
Yeah, it's a semi-spoiler, because, like, the environmental message, it was, because that is very worldview.
But that's very inherent to the original Godzilla film.
That's true.
Yes.
The original Godzilla film, I would say, is more about humans' impact on the environment than even the monster.
Mm.
The monster is just the result of humans' nuclear...
mistakes.
Weaponry.
Yeah. Right.
Activity.
Human's effect on the planet. Yeah, that was... And it didn't feel ham-fisted, but it was a... It was definitely there. Like, yes, we are the cancer. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. Which I understood the need for it to be there, and I was like, okay, I could see this character doing it, except that she was a mom. And that's, the spoilers are starting to...
Well, how about we pull back a little bit? We'll give the spoiler warning. Take a break, see if we can't turn the speaker down.
Alert.
I think that's going to happen. I think it's going to, well...
Jesus Christ. Anyway, that's the old man in me. Kids these days.
I don't like fun.
So we're going to take a quick break. Like. Yeah, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and when we do come back, we will dive into it. Heavy spoilers. Okay, we're back. We gave you plenty of time to stop this. I don't think we'll be editing this at all.
Yeah.
What was it that I said last cast? I said something. Then that between takes, that kind of like the clapping board. It was like, shoot, what did I say?
Yeah, you did.
And Kathleen kept cracking up about it. I can't remember what it was.
Oh no, it's because I'm like, I just edited that thing, but that was the one before that.
But anyway, spoiler free. Like, this is like the spoiler brains are off now. Like, we can.
Yes, we have given our spoiler warning.
Spoil it all, Dave.
So now that we are at this part, hit it.
Okay. Well, Darth Vader kills Dumbledore.
It again?
It's a tough movie. A lot of tears.
A lot of tears.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will say my one complaint is the last minute saves. I was feeling like I'm back in the 1990s with the guys outrunning the explosions.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Okay, come on. Like, fucking dial that back. Like, you don't have to do that every time.
Yeah, like, we're about to get eaten. No, we're not.
Yeah.
Oh, we're about to get eaten again. No, we're not.
I also found myself thinking... in that same vein of they're involved in all of these explosions, most of which are slightly nuclear or super nuclear, right. I'm like, okay, shouldn't all of you be just about glowing by now?
Yeah.
So even though you've survived these giant explosions, you're all going to die in like 2 weeks from radiation poisoning,
yeah,
right?
You should have a hand growing out the back of your head or
something. Yeah, you're like going to die this horrible, horrible, horrific death in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I kept keeping track of. Like, well, they should all be dead now. Oh, that should have killed them all. Like, oh, they just got caught in an explosion. That should have killed them. Oh, that explosion just threw them against a building. That would have killed them. And I don't care about any of that. That doesn't take me out of it. I love it.
Right. It's like the radiation. Even with the originals, anytime a radioactive monster would walk through a city, that city would probably be uninhabitable for decades.
Yes. Everyone is covered in burns and sores.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like you, Dave, I've suspended my reality on that part.
Yeah, because we are talking about a movie about giant monsters, like giant 500-foot monsters stomping their way across every major city in the world.
And I thought what Jody said earlier, this is a very American way to tell a monster movie. And there were a lot of American action tropes in it.
Yeah.
Like the one-liners as they're about to die.
Heavy, yeah. Heavy
Hail to the king.
Drama.
It's my child. She's all I've got.
Everyone's on the verge of tears constantly. Everyone's having their big little... I'm like, how many times do they crack up on set? Like, because a lot of those actors, they're very serious, very good, dramatic actors.
Absolutely. There wasn't a bad actor on there.
No.
Nor, I don't think there was a bad performance either.
No.
Although Millie Bobby Brown coming back to life by sucking in all that air as if she had drowned. Like, oh, that's so very American.
Oh, so now that we're in spoiler mode.
Indeed.
So we find out that Vera Farmiga's character is like the antagonist.
Yes.
She is the antagonist.
Right.
And while we were finding out about her plan to sort of purge the Earth of excess humanity in order to save the Earth's habitability.
She's Thanos.
That's exactly
kind of,
what,
yeah.
That's
yep.
exactly what I
I'm
leaned
sorry,
over.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
You just stepped all over
where I'm going. Oh! Troy, you're a
dick.
Troy, for the steal. Continue, Troy.
No! I
was done.
It's your microphone now, dude.
She's gonna wipe out as much of the humanity, the population, which is weird. Is this a population that, or is this a plan that people are contemplating outside of movie supervillains, or
say again? What?
Like wiping out half the population of a planet,
right.
So that the planet could then habitate the planet.
Cohabitate with the Titans.
When they're explaining that plan, I turn to Dave. I go, "This is the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. We're gonna wreck it all, and then it'll just grow back." I'm like, what the hell is this, Wall-E or something?
Well, the whole plan, the whole idea of destroying all of civilization and rebuilding it is kind of it's a common one. I mean, it's in Batman Begins, it's in Avengers Endgame and Avengers Infinity War, it's in Fight Club. I mean, the whole idea of just the world is too corrupt to destroy it and gross as it is now, we have to destroy it and rebuild it.
Well, and I would say that's a very American take on... So I found it very fitting that she's an American woman and this is her take on that idea of keeping everything in balance, because this idea of, it happens in the old Toho Mothra movies and the Godzilla movies, is that there's this always kind of underlying current of, and sometimes you get odd translations when these movies are dubbed to English. And so one of the things that always sticks out to me, because it's just worded so strangely, is that when the cosmos, this is the Mothra twins,
Shobijin cosmos,
the Shobijin. Okay, so one of the things that they say in one of the very early Mothra movies is that the Earth is offended. Which just doesn't translate very well to English, but this is the actual words in the dubbing, is that the Earth is offended, that's why Mothra has to come, that's why the giant monsters are here. So, I would say that Hollywood definitely took a page from Toho's book, but then they have this very uniquely cynical, individualistic American interpretation that, and I thought it was so American that just because she can, just because she is this type of scientist, just because she can, she's going to do it. I'm like, oh, that's so American. That's so, like, let's not even consult with anybody else or say the world government or the UN or anybody like that. No, I'm able to do it, so let's just do it.
Well, I'm highly dubious that any world government would be like, yeah, that's a good idea. she was making the hard call.
Right.
She was doing what had to be done.
So, we all agree that this is a super fun movie.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. You should go see it. It's fun.
I was just going to say, what did we like the best?
Don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it,
but
for sure.
I was going to say, what didn't you like?
Well,
I was going to ask, what didn't you like about
I thought a little bit of the American way of storytelling was, I don't know, a little forced. I thought, like, all the tropes that American action films have, a lot of them showed up here. I wasn't thrilled with the mid-range CG shots. For instance, I thought when Ghidra was chasing Vera at the very end, I thought those mid-range shots, when it got close, was really good. But when it was far away, I thought Ghidra's neck shrunk, and it got a little... The shadowing didn't work quite as well.
I think that you might have felt differently about that. Have you seen it in IMAX?
I saw it in IMAX on Thursday. I felt the same way.
I rescind my comment.
Yeah. I thought that was... It didn't like the mid-range... Like, the far-away stuff, you can cheat there. But the mid-range stuff... Man, I didn't like it. There was just some times when... For instance, when Ghidra grabs Godzilla, they go up into outer space...
Yeah, upper atmosphere. Whatever.
That was almost Hanna-Barbera cartoon there. I just thought that it wasn't shaded or it didn't look good.
I thought it looked nice.
It was clear, and I think that was my problem. Why would it be so very clear up there? I also thought that there was too much rain again. For heaven's sake, stop with the water. You're hiding so much by using water and rain and night as a backdrop for these fights. And I criticize Pacific Rim 1 for the same thing. It's 2019. We don't need that. So, lots of rain. Well, even Mothra was birthed behind a waterfall, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. The rain is part of the effect, though. They're using it, like, to show the motion and to, like, to emphasize the action. Like, when he's in Pacific Rim, when he swings the battleship or whatever, the train, like the rain coming off of it is almost like motion lines going off behind it, you know?
It's a way to... no normal human being, almost no human being has any sense of what... Of scale, of this kind of scale.
Sure.
Like... there's a scene when Mothra makes a big appearance as Mothra, as we know her.
Yeah.
And she flaps her wings and all that stuff. That would have killed everyone. Because, when Godzilla appears and he swings his tail, just the proximity of swinging his tail would have killed everyone. Like, do you understand how fast that has to be going for it to move, to look like it's moving that fast? And that level of mass displacement is simply something that no one has ever dealt with before in real life, ever. Like, short of a mountain falling next to you.
Right.
Like, the closest I would think is like an avalanche, where you have just tons and tons of snow and rocks and debris rocketing at you at like 150, 200 miles an hour. That's about as close as it's going to get.
The only thing that really, like, gave an indication of that was when Rodan flew over the Mexican city, I think.
That was nice, because he flew over them and people got sucked up into the air. Cars, buses, people. That was cool. That was as realistic as it could get.
As realistic as a giant monster with like a 700-foot wingspan can get, which could not fly, by the way.
As cheesy as, and I don't mean this as a criticism of Toho movie makers, but Rodan comes off super cheesy in the original movie.
Mm.
Yes.
And that's not... I don't really mean that negatively.
The original Rodan movie or the original...
The original Rodan movie.
Oh.
Because...
What was that?
There was no way to make his wings flexible. His wings are very static.
Oh, yes.
But I thought Rodan looked badass. Like, I thought that was a great modern interpretation.
The design of all of the characters.
Yes. Oh, Mothra was bitching. Oh,
Mothra
my God.
Was awesome.
No.
No?
No.
Mothra was not bitching?
No, Mothra was not bitching.
Uh-oh.
Mothra?
Joey's a hyper Mothra fan here.
You can't see this, friends, but I'm wearing my Mothra earrings right now.
It's true. I made them.
So...
Nerd.
He did. He had them 3D printed, which might be the most nerd thing ever. Okay, so...
Win!
Terrible.
Pete is beating his nerd chest. All right.
Oh, man.
If anyone has ever seen the Godzilla versus Megaguirus movie, which you maybe haven't, but you should, because it's great.
It's awesome.
Okay, Megaguirus is basically a giant badass bug. And in this movie, it's like they tried to mash up Megaguirus and Mothra.
All right.
Let's just say, giant spoiler alert, Mothra should not have a stinger. That should not be a thing. Moths don't have stingers. Mothra should not have a stinger. It should not be her weapon. Her weapon is glitter. Let's be realistic.
Oh, I wanted to ask. Because you said if they did not have some kind of, like, allusion to the Mothra theme song in this, you would be upset. Was there one?
In 2014, there was zero musical callbacks to the original series at all whatsoever, and it made the whole film feel hollow. There was so much quotations from
direct literal lines from the dubbed
from the original
films.
Akira Fukube scores. Well, the Mothra theme was
no.
Akira
I meant
Fukube.
Actual lines from the dubbed films. There are. There are literal lines from the dubbed films in this film.
Musically.
No. I mean...
Like dialogue.
Dialogue.
Oh. I guess I didn't understand what you were saying.
That's kind of cool.
I don't know that.
But you were saying...
The musical score...
There, yes.
...blended the old with the new beautifully. And there were so many... It's a quote, right? What do you... Anyway. There are lots of hooks.
There are musical motifs for every monster.
Right. Well, right. That and, you know, Mothra's theme is there. Godzilla's march is in there.
Yep.
Mixed in all over the place. And it was joyous, and it made it so much more entertaining.
Nice.
I mean, it was... 14 was so hollow, because it was like, all the music is very forgettable. But you bring it back, and you mix it in with some new stuff, and it was great.
Yep.
It was really good. Music's fantastic. Are we still on things we don't like?
Yeah, well, do you have a thing that you don't like?
No, I've said my piece.
Yeah, I think the only thing that really bugged me was the last minute saves and the over the top action. Like, I understand that like this is an action flick, but like make it somewhat believable. There's a little bit of too much of that, but that was my only real complaint, because like the actual story and like the actual the visuals were ridiculous, so it was a lot of fun.
I just suffered from kaiju fatigue.
Okay.
Like, there's too much, you know what, I hesitate to say too much. There was a lot of monster duking it out.
Uh-huh.
And I like that, and I almost, not quite, but almost reached my threshold where I was like, I just can't. I'm about to pop here. Like, and I think this isn't really a criticism or a thing I didn't like about it, but I saw a missed opportunity to make this movie into like a five-part miniseries of 2-hour episodes. I feel like this could have been done. like 10 hours of movie.
You had three very solid acts in this, and all three acts were well thought out. I can see that. You could have made... I'm glad they didn't make it a trilogy, because, oh Lord, that would have been a lot of padding in that film.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was room to explore different ideas.
They could have made them shorter films, too, rather than 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, you could explore the sort of misanthropic, like, all humanity is sucks motif. You could delve into the environmental idea, maybe of meddling with nature, of the fact that there are giant monsters, and the fact that one of those giant monsters isn't from Earth. Like,
that was a surprise to everybody in the film, though. So
right.
It was a leap of faith, I think. It wasn't much of a... Like, I think it might be from outer space. That's why it didn't work.
Therefore, it can only be a giant space monster.
Exactly, which is the Toho science that I was looking for. I mean, just...
And
Didn't have any cutaway to any professors explaining, like, gaps in the time-space continuum that the princesses leap into or anything. That was a shame.
You know what? I think I just thought of something that it was kind of a criticism. There was a lot of concepts introduced that really, there's too much of it was introduced, and now I'm curious about it. Like, there's a whole underwater city.
Yeah, what's that? It's Atlantis, yeah. You know.
Yeah, like, yeah, and exactly. That, presumably
that's
at some point.
That's what I thought it was.
Right. So presumably that city was not underwater at some point. And they managed to build these huge carvings and monoliths and statues to evidently worship all these giant monsters, specifically Godzilla. And I'm like, that all is
incredible. Or did they create Godzilla?
Ooh, there you go.
Or did Godzilla, was it Godzilla that sank Atlantis?
Which is stolen completely from Gamera. In the Gamera films, humanity creates Gamera to protect them from Gauss.
You watched that first one.
So my thinking on that like city of Atlantis, and especially because there was a vessel for Godzilla to heal,
yes.
My thinking was King Ghidorah arrived, and humanity's response was, this advanced civilization said, let us create our own, like Godzilla's the original GMO. Okay.
GMG.
Let us create our own GMK GMO.
Genetically modified. God.
So that's like my most super nerdy.
Right.
Toho.
Wow. There aren't too many. That's a super.
I think with GMK. Wow. Genetically modified kaiju.
No.
GMK.
That's not what GMK stands for.
But that's very good. Yeah.
So you should explain GMK.
GMK is. Okay. A film in the 90s was Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, all monsters, all out attack. The title of the film is incredibly long, so fans have shortened it to GMK.
Oh, and you just modified
came, right, Taylor, I got you.
I'm cleverer than I thought.
So the idea is that this ancient civilization actually created Godzilla to fight Ghidorah.
That was my first thought when I saw it.
Though the Titans are older than we are, right? This was their world.
That's my
first.
Understanding.
That was my...
They were around before the dinosaurs.
But my thinking was, because Godzilla's nest is basically in the heart of this advanced civilization.
Yeah.
That Godzilla was created.
Or maybe they're just like...
By humans.
Oh, that guy is on our side. We should... make him very comfortable. Like, here
hey, don't
you go,
piss that guy off. Give him a couch to sleep on.
We made you a room.
Yeah.
Make sure there's giant statues of me.
What about you, Donna?
How were those statues not knocked over at some point?
I don't have enough background knowledge to...
Yeah, but you have a very... You have
the outsider's perspective.
Watch
yes.
a lot of movies, and yes. you have a lot of... opinions.
And you have not been subjected to so many
and
kaiju
so yeah you're looking at this as a new fan quotation
okay.
marks whether you have become a fan or not doesn't matter but as a lay person
I think this
likes,
movie is more believable and less ridiculous to me Then that trailer we saw for that Hobbs and whatever it was, that looks ridiculous.
It's Fast and the Furious.
The Rock is holding up a helicopter with his bare hands. Yeah, look, ridiculous.
Wait. Are you saying that The Rock could not hold a helicopter with his bare hands?
I totally believe it.
And he wasn't holding a helicopter. He was arm wrestling it.
Yes, that's right.
Wrestling it to the ground.
Like, this is ridiculous. I can more likely believe that there are prehistoric monsters living underneath the various parts of the Earth's crust.
I like at that point, there's like, their vehicle's in the air,
yes.
But yet Jason Statham is still steering.
Yes. Yeah. And then Ross's like, I'm gonna pull this one with this chain with my hands, because that's how strong I am. That's ridiculous.
Bet, mark my words, Rotten Tomatoes will give that Calvin and Hobbes, or what is it?
Whatever the hell was Hobbes and what the hell?
That's not, the need for speed. The name of Calvin
Sorry,
and Hobbes.
Sorry, I apologize. But they'll give that movie a better rating than they gave Godzilla. They gave Godzilla a 40%, which is rotten.
Really?
And audiences are giving it between 80 and 90%. Like 89 and 90%. It's been fluctuating a little bit. But
I have my own issues with critics.
What I'm saying is, the same critics that gave Godzilla a 40% promise you they're going to give this stupid Fast and Furious movie a better rating.
I saw your friend's post on Facebook about he took the screenshots and like how the critics gave Last Jedi such high ratings, but the fans didn't. And I agree with that, because I thought Last Jedi was not very good, not very interesting. I almost fell asleep on parts of it. But this was a fun movie. This was a fun, didn't take itself too seriously. A bit over melodramatic, but I think it's supposed to be that way. And all these very serious, very good dramatic actors did a good job, like, being very melodramatic.
I think Millie Bobby Brown has a future.
Yeah. You think?
She might keep getting work.
I am such a fan of. I love watching her. She has a very good mix of like being badass and vulnerable at the same time, and like she brings the same thing that she does to Eleven in this, but like in a different way. I love her.
And she swears.
That's kick ass.
Joe, do your favorite parts?
Oh, my favorite parts. Definitely, even though it's not Tokyo Tower, it's definitely when Mothra emerges from the cocoon and she unfurls these epically huge wings.
That was awesome.
And for any of you who are following the trailers before the movie came out, that moment in the trailers, they're playing Debussy's Clair de Lune, which makes no sense at all whatsoever. And I thought that was going to have some kind of, you know, connection to what was going on. No, there's no relation. Nothing.
Pretty song.
Nothing.
I wish
nothing
they would not
related.
Have shown that part in the trailers, because that was a very cool
That's
moment.
Why you don't watch trailers.
Dummy. Oh, and I will say
I'm addicted to trailers. Shut up.
Me too.
That the fact that her wings...
That's why YouTube is there.
...were so huge, and finally, when she was fighting, like, just before she was fighting Rodan, like, her wings lit up in all different colors. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I could almost forgive the stinger for that. But not really. The stinger was awful. It needs to go away.
Did you think about her, like, pointy forearms?
Loved.
That's okay, because the original Mothra does have a lot of arms.
So, now, if she'd have just poked Rodan through the heart with her forearm, you'd have been okay.
No. No. Because, here's the thing, and this was I was talking with Pete in the car about this. Mothra's weapon, ultimately, is...
Love.
Her glitter. Is her scales. So, when Mothra... And now, also, this particular Mothra did not have any kind of, like, laser beams from her eyes or antennas.
Right.
Which was also a problem, but okay, we'll deal with that another time. So, Mothra's weaponry, I think, is very specific to the type of kaiju that she is. So the fact that they took her scales and they made her scales like a healing medicine for Godzilla is kind of garbage.
It fits the character, though, doesn't it?
No! Mothra.
Mothra's trying to save the planet, and the best choice they have is to heal Godzilla.
In the original Toho films, the only giant monster to ever have defeated Godzilla is Mothra. With glitter and singing.
True.
This is my creature. This is my creature.
It's your soul kaiju.
She is. Soul kaiju. Yes. I feel a kindred spirit with Mothra. She's summoned by singing. She defeats her enemies with glitter.
And webs.
In order to save... No! Mothra is not freaking Spider-Man. Let's also talk about that.
Okay, no, I fully, like, post Chrysalis Mothra is not Spider-Man.
Right.
Correct.
Like, the caterpillar Mothra is.
Yes.
The larva stage of Mothra in this film was so cool. This is my favorite larva Mothra of all time. That is the one thing they did epically well.
And now just opens get rid of the stinger. Too. It's main fact.
Get rid of the Spider-Man web shooting and turn her glitter into weaponry. And yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I have opinions about Mothra.
You got opinions.
My favorite part was how art, I don't know if I call it artfully, but like how, you know what I will call it. Artfully, they introduced the idea of Mothra being summoned by twins. Because I was thinking to myself, like, okay, well, that just seems like really implausible for them to work that into the plot. But they worked it into the plot.
And they worked it into the plot.
But they kind of glossed over it.
A little bit.
Oh, yes. It was a throwaway scene for sure.
They didn't really address it.
I don't know. Throwaway scene in that it wasn't 100% necessary? Yes. But I really enjoyed it when I saw that... Like,
she
no.
came from a line of twins.
Yes, there's two
and
of them.
And there are and two of them. Twin. She is a twin.
She's a twin. Her twin was with Mothra.
Her twin was with Mothra, and her twin was on the plane. I didn't catch that on Thursday.
And I was like, that's cool. They didn't sing, but that's cool. I'm kind of glad they didn't
sing.
They
should have sang.
There should have been some singing.
Could have dubbed it.
Although, and then Mothra just got axed. I'm like, no.
And Rodan, why do you gotta be a dick?
Surely there's a Mothra egg somewhere that will...
Well, in the end credits, there was a new egg found. Yep. Could it be the second Mothra?
Yes.
Those end credits are something we're gonna slow down frame for frame.
Yes.
When the Blu-ray comes out, because I'm like, what did I miss?
I know, I was trying to read those really fast.
Oh, yeah, it's almost impossible. There was a point where they went bang, 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 three newspaper articles in a row.
It took me a while to, like, realize, oh, shit, this is, like, there's future plot here. I need to, like, pay attention. Like, there's, like, four articles gone before I was like, oh, I should be reading this.
Troy, do you have a favorite part? Moment?
I really, like, honestly, King Ghidorah, like, looking through the window at Millie Bobby Brown, like, realizing where the thing was from, and, like, knowingly saying, like, I found you, bitch.
You're down.
Jurassic Park moment.
Jurassic Park moment. Yep. That's very true. That was a very cool moment. King Ghidorah, and when King Ghidorah bites the electricity.
Yes.
Oh, and he gets power from it, yeah.
And then he just throws his wings out and... lightning shoots out everywhere. Because there was a lot of that where it's like, I love the moments where the kaijus in all the movies always have like their crazy power moment. Yeah. In Shin Godzilla, when he like stops in the middle and he like just powers up and like explodes in every direction. I just wanted to sit up and be like, ah!
They're the hero shot.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's the hero shot, and King Ghidorah had a really cool hero shot in this. And so did Godzilla, too, actually. He had a couple moments like that. Oh, yeah, like the first time he breathed his breath, and like you saw like his scales light slowly up his back, and it's like, whoa!
But then he missed.
Yeah, then he missed.
That was awesome! Like, you missed, sucker!
Oh, actually, reminds me, speaking of Ghidorah, the lightning that came out of his mouth was very much like what you saw in the original Toho films. If they didn't make it like too lightning-y, they actually made it look like a sort of a wavy
beam. A wave, yeah. Just like they're in the Toho film.
And also, while Peter didn't sound exactly like he did.
No, he didn't.
There was one moment where he made that like that chirping bark that he normally does.
I missed it.
It was once. He does it once. It was right when he was introduced.
Huh.
It's like, and it was, it didn't sound exactly like it, but it sounded pretty close. I'm like, oh, because it's usually a high pitch, like,
yeah, it's kind of like a weird telephone ring.
Yeah, like a trill.
A weird telephone ring, or, yes.
Or maybe my yes. telephone ring.
The world's most evil telephone.
If that ringtone doesn't exist yet,
it will soon.
I got it on my phone.
Oh, got it.
I gotta pee.
Yeah. Now I gotta edit. Damn it, Dave. We do need beers.
Fine, I need a beer.
Let me go look at the menu.
Do you want another one of those?
All right. You want some food?
Yeah, I'm thinking food.
Oh, that's...
Hey, mister, you want some food?
You had to pay more money for the movie than Mothra as a kid was always my favorite, but I mean, admittedly, I have not seen a Mothra movie in like 30 years.
I just bought the... The movie Mothra is kind of hard to find in the United States because all the DVDs are out of print. I've got my copy from Media Blasters or something like that. And that, but they just released, or they're going to release in July, a Blu-ray version of the original. And I've already paid for it. So
cool.
If you want to come over and see it in gorgeous Blu-ray, it's a good film.
I want to see an ugly Blu-ray.
You might want to see it in ugly Blu-ray, actually, because we've had several friends from G-Fest tell us that they've watched the Blu-ray versions of some of these Toho films, and unfortunately, you can see all the wires and the sets and the tape and the whatever, which would normally have been covered up on film. But now that it's so cleaned up, it's like, oh, this like peeking behind the curtain.
I wonder if those weren't early Blu-rays for these kind of films, and that when you handle it now, they'll go back and digitally take out some of those.
I don't know
some
if
of
they
those
would.
Effects.
Mostly because, like, where do you stop them? Like, oh, well, you know what? While we're taking the wires out, we might as well just
make Kong shoot first.
Yeah, take some of the seams out of the costume.
Make Kong shoot first.
Yeah.
Those FBI agents aren't holding guns. They're holding phones.
Or flashlights.
Flashlights, is that what it was?
I think so.
That was E.T., right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, where does it stop? Like, okay, we erase the wires. Let's clean up the suit. Let's take some of the seams out of the suit. And then, oh, well, you know what? Why don't we just fix the suit a little bit more, make it look more realistic? Oh, you know what? Why don't we just replace it with...
Erase it and put a CGI.
Put a CGI, So I kind of like the idea of just watching it on Blu-ray, warts and all.
Seeing a wire does not take me out of the enjoyment of the film by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
I can see where you're saying, Dave, though, that you were getting tired. I'm not sure if you were getting tired by the kaiju, but by all, the whole movie was a CG fest. I don't believe for one second that any of that was a set.
Right, no.
I'm sure there were many sets. I'm sure there were many location shootings they did. But I bet that the majority of it was some CG was splashed, plastered right on top of it to get the desired effect. I
will say that, like, the 2014 movie, one of the things it did was put you in the place of the people, which is why I like the Ghidra moment.
Yeah.
Because, like watching out the window and seeing the foot come down, for example, there was a couple moments in that 2014 that was just like, oh, man.
Yeah, that was cool.
They built this up so well. The guys parachuting past Godzilla was fucking gorgeous.
that was really
so good.
So good.
And this didn't do that quite as much. This is more of a straight edge, like, there are giant monsters and we're going to sit here and watch them fight.
There were a couple of boots on the ground camera, what was that called? A Dutch angle or something where you're shooting up?
Oh, the shaky cams, they're shooting up.
Like, yeah, they did more of that from the ground too, actually. It's funny.
At the end, they had, when they were fighting over Fenway, there were a couple of those shots where you're looking straight up at the monsters fighting. So there were a couple of those. They weren't done as well, though.
When they were running from Ghidra in Antarctica, there was a lot of that.
Yeah. There's... I'm glad they did that. I'm glad that they kind of limited it, because those camera shots, especially at that scale, like when you're talking about, like, you know, a gazillion foot tall monster fighting another gazillion foot tall monster, it's difficult to figure out what's happening if you're like one person on the ground. Like, that was one of the big problems with, excuse me, beer burp, Transformers. It's a giant monster fighting another giant monster, like, robot.
And they all look the same. That was the problem.
Like, it just looks like a mishmash of, like, shards of metal, like, rolling down a hill or something. And one of them's talking.
yes.
But, like, this one, I think it was...
When you animate every gear, I mean, it's like, back off a little bit. Let's simplify these guys. Like, you don't need to see every fucking piece of... It's like,
it's a freaking robot, man.
And then zoom in on the wires. It's like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Too busy.
Speaking of zoom in, the moment when Ghidra takes Godzilla and flies him up into, like, way above the clouds, and it was all clear, and I get the criticism. I think that could have been mitigated with a little bit of J.J. Abrams action, like a la Star Trek, the reboot Star Trek. Because...
More lens flare?
Maybe not that part.
I'm kidding. Sorry.
Maybe.
I think he could have used a lens flare too. But he did a lot of, like, stuff that... He made everything look like it was done in camera. So, like, you know, there's when Ghidra was lifting up Godzilla, and it was a big wide shot, and it was clean and clear and crystal and all that stuff. J.J. Abrams would have... He would have made it look like it was being filmed from a camera. From a camera in a plane.
That slight pan.
Yeah, like a camera in a plane, so it would have been moving. And also, like, the camera would have zoomed in real fast, and you would have seen, like, the frame is actually moving. You can see the character's
moving. The shaky hand. Yeah.
He would have done that, and that would have actually felt more in the moment, even though it was all complete contrivance. And that's why he did it in Star Trek. Like, if you want to ever watch that again.
Or even better, Cloverfield.
Yep, I was thinking Cloverfield too.
Because, like, that movie made me feel like there are giant monsters attacking. I fucking love that movie, and I know I might be in the minority.
I thoroughly enjoy it. It just fucked me up bad.
Yeah, there was some motion
sickness.
Jodie
helped me out of the theater at the very end. She, mm-hmm. like, I'm not, my weight wasn't on you, but you held my arm and led me out of the theater. Because I was so discombobulated. The world was spinning. I'm not even... I think I'm a kind of tough guy because I do a lot of tough things.
I think you would have been okay watching it on a television size screen.
Right.
Yeah.
But a big screen was a little.
I even remember
weird.
Putting my head between my knees.
Oh, yeah.
At one point.
Wow. It was a Blair Witch syndrome. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't mind Blair. Well, I only saw Blair Witch on the television, so. But yeah, when that they had a club scene and there was some strobe lights going on, and I just went down, man. I'm like, nope.
I forget this. No, I like Cloverfield. Oh, man, my only criticism of Cloverfield is that they showed the monster. I'm like, no, you don't show it. That's what's
you
so
show
terrifying.
You show it here.
And you don't really
you show
see
it here.
But there are a couple of clear shots. I'm like, well, now you've ruined it for me. What's scary is that you can't see all of
it. Yeah, agreed.
Show it in the peripheral. Don't show it like a dead, like straight
up
shot.
Yeah,
that
was the
ultimate. You see a tail, you see a leg, but that's it.
Yeah.
That was the ultimate, the effect of the monster on the people in the in the city movie. And this is not entirely that. There's some moments of that. There's some moments of that, but this is more world scale disaster and giant monsters fighting.
Yeah,
that's the two
giant monsters fighting.
Yeah,
and we got that in spades.
Oh yeah.
You know what? I think I might be flipping a little bit. No. I'm just gonna go ahead and say, like, I kind of liked the underwater. City.
Oh yeah.
I thought the underwater city was like, oh, there's a layer of, there's something more going on here. Yeah, like, that's awesome.
And initially I had said, like, oh, too many, like, new things introduced, like, and now I'm just too curious.
A lot of new stuff.
Like, so the others is like this prehistorical civilization that was around long enough to create these giant cities that got sunk somehow. But I'm kind of okay with that.
I'm on board, Jody.
Hey, don't you want that story now, though?
Yes, I want that.
Yes, I want that story.
And it was also kind of very Lovecraftian, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
Like, this, like in this city in the middle of the ocean or whatever, like, it's sunken, like, this giant monster lives there. Referring, of course, to Call of Cthulhu, or however you pronounce it. We can't pronounce it because we our mouths are...
Our mouths can't
possibly
pronounce it.
But, like, that really invoked the Cthulhu mythology to me. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. I think I just talked myself into liking this movie more.
You liked it, now you like it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if somebody was like, hey, is this an awesome movie? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
If somebody like, is it a good movie? I'm like,
No. Is it good? What is good?
It's a good movie. I enjoyed it.
I think it was a fine movie. I think it was a good movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Kind of the point of this.
Don't understand podcast. The critics. And they're like, do you not enjoy anything?
Yeah.
Are you allergic to fun?
Right.
I mean, this was better than Transformers. I couldn't get past watching the first 10 minutes of that movie. It was so terrible.
I couldn't distinguish what robot was. They all looked the same to me.
Yeah.
Well, it has Shia LaBeouf, and I hate that kid. I can't stand that kid.
Ever since Holes.
And I've never seen Holes.
Holes is that he's actually really adorable. Good in that.
That's what I've heard.
I love it.
But I don't know what it is about him I'm not fond of. I'm like, nope, I'm out.
Just do it, Donna.
Yeah, no Transformers. Just do it. No Battleship. No, God, I heard that was terrible.
I did watch Battleship, and like maybe 40 minutes into it, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm watching the entire thing. I'm watching it all now. I've committed. I'm committed.
You're hate watching it.
Yeah, I was hate watching it. I'm like, no. Like, I'm not letting this movie defeat me. I'm going to watch it.
So Battleship did not turn out as well as Clue. Is that what you're saying?
Wait, Clue?
What? You hate Clue?
No.
They're
board game Clue's movies. One of the
best. Oh, yeah. It took me a second. Troy and I were both
I know they're
like,
making you sorry.
Like, you didn't like Clue? I like Clue.
I know, I'm like, I love that movie.
Wait a minute. Did you say they're making a sorry movie?
Yes.
What?
Is it about guys being dicks?
What? I'm totally lying.
Oh my god, that's already hilarious.
Like, they've made worse. They've had worse concepts. They made fucking Battlefield or Battleship.
Yeah. Oh god.
I'm thinking about like what would a sorry movie be like? It would just be like a bunch of assholes being terrible to one another
and sliding into one another.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, that would be the hashtag for the movie.
They all have to get back home. Except that, like, they're just trying to stop one another.
Like, the goal of this game is to get back home. 1, 2, 3, go! And then to stab everybody.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't say you could stab people. I didn't say that I couldn't stab you.
If I said I'm sorry, is that okay?
Sorry. This movie was a solidly entertaining movie.
Yes!
And it didn't take itself
too
seriously, even in its melodrama of the acting. But I think the actors were like, they're all in on the joke. They're like, you know.
Waka waka, right.
Yeah, yeah. They get it. They're getting paid. They're getting
it
a paycheck.
It is a summertime popcorn movie, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Whoever's listening to this, if you didn't get a chance to see it in the theaters, that's probably the optimal time to see it is in the theaters.
Yeah, this one you gotta see in the theater.
Yeah, you can see it on the small screen.
Honestly, on the biggest screen you can. I saw it on IMAX, and it's wow. Everything is just awesome. Oh, hey, our food's here. So we're gonna wrap this up, folks. We will talk to you next time.
Burritos.
Goodbye.
Chicken burrito.